Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. I'm here every weekday morning, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude. And our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can also check us out on Twitter, at Nick D Show. But the best way to stay connected, as I've said before, is on our Facebook page. So you should like us right now. It's facebook.com/Nick D Show. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Real quick plug for my next film club event. It's tomorrow night, Tuesday night. I will be hosting a screening of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which is my favorite of the Indiana Jones movies. And it's digitally remastered. It's going to be amazing to see on the big screen. If you've never seen it on the big screen, really got to come out and see it. It is nonstop action from beginning to end. It's also very funny, and it's crazy and over the top. And I just think it's such a fun movie. We had a huge crowd, a sellout crowd for Raiders when we did Raiders last year. So we figured, hey, let's do the sequel. So tomorrow night it's at 8 o'clock. It's $14 to get in, and that includes free popcorn per ticket. So you get free popcorn for every ticket. And also you have the dine-in option where if you just want to stay in the theater, order some food, they'll bring it to you and you can eat it right into the theater. Parking is free and tickets are available now. You should reserve your seats so that they will be waiting for you tomorrow night. You can come early at 7 o'clock and have some dinner at Bogart's on the second floor of the Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. Have some dinner, and then everybody will go into the big, beautiful premiere theater with the giant love seats and the huge curved screen and the digital sound and everything. I'll introduce the movie at 8 o'clock. We'll watch the movie, and then we'll have a little talk about it afterwards. So, once again, directed by Steven Spielberg, of course, Harrison Ford, Kate Capshaw. Nonstop action, really, really funny. Also really cool, fun, gross-out gags throughout the entire movie. There's a lot of bugs in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and chilled monkey brains. So it's a terrific movie. So we're gonna screen that one. We're gonna screen that one tomorrow night and get there at 7 for dinner. 8 o'clock. I'll introduce the movie. $14 to get in. Parking is free. It's at the AMC Movie Co. Theater in Rosemont. Really easy to get to. If you don't want to drive, you can just take the blue line. Get off at the Rosemont stop. It's a 5-minute walk. We'll hope to see you all there tomorrow night, Tuesday night, at the AMC Movie Co. Theater for Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And you can go to Fandango.com to get your tickets right now. Reserve your seats. Pick out the seats you want. They'll be waiting for you tomorrow night. So it's Fandango.com. All right. There you go. Hope to see you guys all out there. We're having a good time with that. All right. Dan, I saw this story about Krispy Kreme and Jelly Belly.
Yes.
Are you a fan of the Jelly Belly jelly beans?
You know, I don't mind them. I don't seek them out, though.
Yeah, I know a lot of people really love them. My thing though is I always find it weird when, you know, like I put like a jelly bean in my mouth and it doesn't taste like I think it's going to taste.
Right.
Like I just think it's weird that. You know, you put a jelly bean in your mouth and it tastes like buttered popcorn. That's weird to me.
Now, have you played that game?
Where you kind of guess what it is?
Well, no. So,
you mix them.
Well, they have this thing now where they have formatted it so it's the same color, but it could be two different tastes. So, like, one is freshly cut grass or whatever they call it is, and then the second color, the second flavor is vomit. And so you spin a wheel, and it lands on the color, and you eat it, and hopefully you get the pleasant one, but you might get the puke gross one.
Right.
So it's a new thing that they do now. So it's like we played it at a party. It was fun. But, you know, that's their new thing. So, like, you know, you could turn it, and you can get something that smells like horse manure and
yeah.
Eat that, and then you could also have something that tastes like chocolate.
What are the names of the and I've read all the Harry Potter books. And, you know, I've seen all the movies. What are the names of the magic beans in the books and in the movies? And they actually did sell them for a while, for real.
Yeah, I've only seen one of the movies and never read the books, so I'm out on that one.
I don't know. I think if you just Google Harry Potter jelly beans, I bet I can't forget. I know there's people screaming at the radio right now. And I've read every one of the books, and I've seen every one of the movies, you know.
Birdie Bots.
That's it. You remember when the movie first came out back in 2001? They started selling those things. And they have, like, boogers, and they have all kinds of, like, weird flavors. But the latest here, Esmeralda, do you like the Jelly Bellies? Jelly beans?
Not a big fan of jelly beans.
No.
Very rarely.
It's Krispy Kreme and Jelly Belly are launching donut-flavored jelly beans. Well, did you think this would make Homer Simpson happy? I think he just wants regular donuts.
He just wants anything. Jelly beans, donuts.
Yeah, but he really likes donuts.
I mean, yeah, but he's not going to turn down some jelly beans.
Especially if they taste like donuts. Have you ever looked at a fresh box of donuts and thought to yourself, oh, man, I wish I could eat these things in jelly bean form? Well, no, we haven't either. But it looks like the sugar-addled maniacs over at Krispy Kreme and Jelly Belly. Jeez. Sugar-addled maniacs? Have teamed up to create new donut-flavored jelly beans anyway. The new jelly bean slash donut capsules were first spotted by avid junk food fans at the 2017 Sweets and Snacks Expo in Chicago last week. They come in five flavors taken right from Krispy Kreme's donut menu: the original glazed, strawberry iced, cinnamon apple-filled, glazed blueberry cake, and chocolate iced with sprinkles. The packages are even designed to resemble a box of Krispy Kreme donuts for good measure. Although it looks like attendees had a chance to try the donut-flavored jelly beans at the expo, you'll have to wait a few more months before you can get your hands on them. When reached via email on Tuesday, a Krispy Kreme spokesperson said the jelly beans won't hit the store shelves until sometime in the fall. Until then, you can pass the time by trying to come up with reasons to eat strawberry iced donut flavored jelly beans instead of an actual strawberry iced donut, or you can just go out and get a box of donuts like a normal person. Well, I wonder what the glazed would taste like. You know, that just seems, it seems weird. Well, all of these flavored jelly beans seem a little weird to me. So there you go. If you're waiting for the Krispy Kreme flavored jelly bellies, you got to wait till the fall. Original glazed, strawberry iced, cinnamon apple filled, glazed blueberry cake, and chocolate iced with sprinkles. How do you get the sprinkles in there? How do you get the sprinkles into a jelly bean? What does that even mean? All right, so you can look forward to that. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trip Tower. How you doing? It's Monday. My dad will tell a joke. He calls in and tells a joke, and it's sponsored by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. My thanks to everybody at the Gale Street Inn, especially George Karz, this incredibly cool dude. And we thank them for sponsoring my dad's joke. And go to galestreet.com for information and get your food, and it's the best, the greatest restaurant on the planet. So, all right. It is June 5th, and I was just looking online, Dan, and you're not a Gilmore Girls. You never watched the show, did you?
Correct. I have never seen an episode.
Esmeralda, you watch Gilmore Girls?
No, never really. I just maybe saw a few episodes here and there.
Okay. I don't know how is it possible that we get along? well, Rory, who's played by Alexis Bledel, one of her friends on the show is a girl named Paris, played by Liza Wheel, turns 40 today. I feel like, are you kidding me? 40? Paris is 40. That just made me feel very old. How old is Alexis Bledel?
You know,
I think she's in her late 30s, right? She's
yeah,
got
yeah.
Right?
I think we looked it up recently when due to Handmaid's Tale.
Because
35.
Okay, she's 35. Is anybody watching Handmaid's Tale besides me? Dan, are you watching it?
I do not have the Hulu.
Oh, Esmeralda? No, you don't have the Hulu.
Yeah,
either.
I don't have Hulu either.
Oh, man. It's worth it, man. It's worth it. If you only watch that show, it's worth it. It's just amazing. Amazing. And my little treat when I get home is going to be watching, when I get home this morning, is going to be watching the incomprehensible Twin Peaks. New episode of Twin Peaks was on last night. And when I get home, I just sit on the couch and go, I have no idea what the hell is happening, but this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. I'm telling you, the third episode of this season, I don't even know why. I seriously, my jaw was open the whole. I just sat on the couch going, what the hell is happening? It's awesome. It's clearly the weirdest thing I've ever seen on TV. And it was episode three. All the first three episodes were completely insane. The fourth one was a little bit more watchable, kind of conventional and funny and weird. But I'm telling you, the third episode of Twin Peaks this season, I don't even know where to begin. I just don't. I'm going to watch it when I get home, and I'm sure I'll be, you know, I'll probably start watching around 6:30 or 7 in the morning. By 7:08, I'll be like, I don't know what the hell's happening right now. I've gone into another dimension. 7 o'clock in the morning on a Monday, I don't know where I am. Am I on Earth? I don't know. Jeez. Hey, by the way, that I'm dying up here. We were talking about with Dan Feinberg. This is another show that's on Showtime. It's a drama about stand-up comedy, the stand-up comedy scene in California in 1973. Most of it fictionalized. The pilot was great. Jim Carrey's an executive producer on it. Melissa Leo is on it. A lot of really good actors and some really good comedians. It's great. It's really, really great. So that debuted last night as well. But they had it on the on-demand earlier, so I watched it over the weekend, and I thought it was great. Now, Netflix, you guys have the Netflix. You all have the Netflix, right?
I do, yes.
Yeah, you guys have the Netflix. Esmeralda, have you finished F is for Family?
Yes.
I haven't. Is it all consistently great?
Yeah.
Because I'm only in episode four, and it's hilarious. I just love that show. I think, Dan, have you ever watched F is for Family?
No, I've heard you guys talk about it, but I haven't caught it myself.
It's comedian Bill Burr, stand-up comedian Bill Burr. He created it. It's an animated series, very R-rated animated series about this family in the 70s. Justin Long, Laura Dern, Sam Rockwell, they all do voices on it. Sam Rockwell essentially, Esmeralda, you can attest to this, essentially playing Wooderson from Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, I actually thought it was Matthew McConaughey doing the voice.
It's great. It's great. It is essentially, you know, they've totally ripped off Wooderson. But they've made it very blatant. And he talks exactly like him. he plays the next door neighbor to the main character, the main family. And he's always doing drugs. He's always got hot chicks. He drives in a van, you know.
He works at a radio station.
He works at a radio station. That's right.
Wow. Does he? I mean, he's got to play classic rock, right? I mean, do they establish that?
Yeah, yeah. And he's usually shirtless with a vest, you know,
like most people at this radio station.
We're all shirtless with vests on right now. It's like, you know, it's like the Warriors work here,
right? For all you people who don't get to see the Showcase Studio. I mean,
that's what it is. It's just filled with people who are shirtless wearing vests.
Cochran and Rowe only put on shirts for CLTV.
That's it, just for that hour. And then it's
and HD is coming. So.
That's right. That's right. So, anyway, Netflix every month they add new stuff that you can see. And so I've got a bunch of that stuff. And we were talking about this with Feinberg, with Dan last week, how Netflix has gone nuts, like, with the stuff that they've debuted. I mean, Dan's theory was that it was they wanted to get to the deadline because the deadline for Emmy consideration was May 31st. So, but they 10 shows and, like, two or three movies. That Brad Pitt movie, which I still have not seen, The War Machine, which looks great. Have you guys seen it?
I have not.
I have not either, but I heard it cost $65 million.
Yeah, that's the first really, you know, big budget Netflix movie. And the first of many. I mean, that's just the future of what's going on with Netflix. Because those stupid Adam Sandler movies that are on Netflix, I think they cost like $12 million, you know. Boy, are they bad. He just continued.
Should I be insulted when they're part of that, like, recommended for you category?
Listen, they get that wrong so often on my, I'm telling you, I get the Adam Sandler stuff recommended to me all the time. Well, the problem is I've watched them, you know, for the show. Like, I watched The Ridiculous Six, and I watched that one where David Spade, you know, what the hell is it? The Do-Over. I watched that one, too. So my algorithm is pro and pro Adam Sandler.
And I think they recommend those to everyone because they're theirs.
Yeah.
So they're like, no, you guys should watch it.
You should watch this, yeah, because it's a Netflix original. So anyway, I've got some Netflix stuff here that we're going to talk about, and I'll tell you about what you can watch on Netflix coming up for the month of June. But right now we got a break. We got the news coming up. Yeah, man. Hi. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday. Happy Monday, everybody. Monday morning, that means my dad calls in and tells a joke. It's a jokey time, so my dad's going to call in and tell a joke, and it's sponsored by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. So my thanks to George and everybody at the Gale Street Inn. Check out galestreet.com. All righty then. So some of the stuff that'll be debuting or returning on Netflix in June as they continue to completely overwhelm all of their subscribers with content. I mean, it's crazy. Have you caught up with Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
No, I just started watching Orange is the New Black.
Ah, you're catching up on
whatever.
It.
Yeah, whatever the season before this new one, fourth.
Fourth, yeah, because season five debuts, as I'm going to mention here, on the 9th.
Yeah.
So you want to catch up to so that you're ready for season five.
Yes, because I completely forgot there was a whole new season.
Yeah, yeah.
kind of dropped off on my radar.
Yeah. It's a good show. Orange is the New Black is a good show. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, I'm about halfway through that.
Yeah. How long are those?
Half hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could probably
they're like
that 20, one out in a
26
day.
26 minutes. No, yeah, you can seriously 2 days you can watch them all. You know, but and it is you know, it's just consistently.
Yeah.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, all three seasons so far are just consistently funny. And Ellie Kemper is adorable. I just think she's adorable. I love to see Carol Kane, man. Carol Kane, like, is so good. Titus Burgess, obviously. And they've added Peter Riegert to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great. He's like a semi-reluctant love interest to Carol Kane.
Okay.
It's very, I kind of want to give it away, but it's very, very funny. Dan, do you ever watch Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
You know, I think we watched the first season and then just never got around to the second season.
Yeah. It's good, man. It's real, real good. And you know, John Hamm makes appearances on it, and he's hysterically funny.
Yeah.
Well, that goes without saying. John Hamm is a genius comedian. I remember the first time he hosted SNL, I was like, where did that come? Because I just knew him as Don Draper.
Yeah, he's so serious. And then if you haven't seen him in anything
he's
else,
he's hilarious.
Which...
And at that, you know, I had never seen him do anything except for Mad Men.
Yeah.
And he hosted SNL, and I was like, this guy's hysterical. And then he's like in Bridesmaids, and he's in, you know, he's done like 8 million comedies now.
He's very Christopher Walken, because remember, Christopher Walken was just a very serious, scary man.
Right.
And then he just started doing funny things.
The best episode that Christopher Walken has hosted SNL like 16 times, and he's great every time. But my favorite episode is from 2000, the year 2000. It's got the cowbell.
Mm-hmm.
On it. And it also has, which is one of my favorite sketches. And I, you know, the cowbell sketch is classic and it's great. But in the same episode, there was the census taker with Tim Meadows as the census taker.
Yeah.
That's one of the funniest things. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Where he lives with like a mountain cat, which is his wife.
Yeah. Did you, someone sent either?
I may have sent it to you.
Either me rewatch it, it's, or you sent it and I watched
it's
it.
It's one of the funniest things. It's seriously one of my favorite things ever. I didn't think anything that night could top Cowbell, but that, and this was towards the end of the episode too.
Yeah.
One of those weird 1250 sketches. And it's just Tim Meadows interviewing Christopher Walken, and it is genius.
Did he ask if plants?
Yeah, if plants are to count as people. Yeah, and they said, do you work full time? And he says, no, not at all. I work 8 hours a day, every day. But then I spend at least 8 hours sleeping. It's ridiculous. It's so funny. All right, so Zodiac, David Fincher's movie, is now available on Netflix. If you've never seen it, you should, because it's great. Jake Gyllenhaal, Mark Ruffalo, Robert Downey Jr. Really creepy movie. Really good movie. And that's available. Orange is the New Black Season 5 mm-hmm. Debuts. Now, here's one that I have not heard of. This debuts at the end of the month, on the 30th. Gypsy. Two-time Oscar nominee Naomi Watts stars as a Manhattan therapist who probably shouldn't start physical relationships with her patients, but hey, you only live once. The first two episodes of this original Netflix erotic thriller will be directed by 50 Shades of Grey director Sam Taylor Johnson. And when you throw in a little Billy Crudup in the mix, one can only hope the thriller part lives up to the erotic precursor. Gypsy.
Hmm.
It's not real exciting for me, at least. You know, like, hey, it's from the director of 50 Shades of Grey. I can't wait to watch that.
Yeah. I don't mind Naomi Watts.
Oh, I love Naomi Watts.
I mean, I don't, but, you know, it's not like, got to see that now.
Yeah. You a big Crudup fan? I like Billy Crudup.
He reminds me of, who's the Irish guy?
You want to narrow that down?
He looks like him.
Colin Farrell?
The milkshake, my milkshake.
Oh, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He reminds me of him.
Milkshake.
But just like the look of him, not. You know, in that scene where he just yells about his milkshake.
No, I know. It's one of my favorite movies
of all
time. He just
goes, my milkshake.
That's all, he just screams milkshake 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
Won the Academy Award for that specific scene.
Yeah, I mean, to be able to say it that many times.
You remember how often I would play the milkshake clip on my show in 2007 when that movie came out? You can believe that movie's 10 years old? There Will Be Blood, it's 10 years old. God. All right, here are some other things that are available. Arrow Season 5.
Hmm.
Burlesque.
Oh, that movie with Cher?
This says 2017.
Oh, and then I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is either.
It was Cher and
Christina Aguilera. Horrendous movie.
Oh, did not look good.
Catwoman is available.
Oh. Mm.
You want to see a bad female superhero movie?
They need to reboot that.
Yeah.
And try harder.
Yeah. Or just everybody watch Batman Returns if you want to see the best Catwoman.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, I want
a whole
more
movie. Yeah. Michelle
they
Pfeiffer.
Just ruined it.
I know they did. Michelle Pfeiffer is so good in Batman Returns.
Yeah, completely.
One of my favorite performances. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, that would be the, you know, it's good that they're debuting this in June.
Jim Carrey. You know, they do Christmas in July.
Right.
Sales.
Jim Carrey version. My Left Foot, speaking of milkshake.
Yeah. That's his name now.
That's his
Milkshake Lewis.
Milkshake Lewis, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, we're reducing one of the greatest actors that's ever lived
to milkshake.
Milkshake Lewis.
Milkshake!
It's his own damn fault. And that became like a catchphrase. I wore it out. I got a t-shirt that says, "There will be there." I drink your milkshake.
I drink your milkshake.
I drink it up! Rounders. You ever see Rounders?
Yes.
Well, sure, of course. Ed Norton. Edward Norton's in it. You know, there's this great story. If you can find it on YouTube, listen to me now. Dan, actually, can we find this on YouTube? It's Matt Damon doing an impersonation of John Malkovich from Rounders.
Nice.
Pay that man his money. You know, the he's ridiculous in that movie. Malkovich, ridiculous. But it's a good movie. I mean, it's and you know, both Edward Norton and Matt Damon are fantastic in it. And it's become one of those movies that when it first came out, I wasn't crazy about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's now one of those ones that, like, I watch anytime it's on. You know, it's a remote dropper now. But when I first saw it, I was kind of critical of it. And But now I've got, you know, I've watched it a bunch of times, and that Malkovich is ridiculous in it. So, but there's this great interview he's doing. It's with a British. You got it, Dan?
I do. There's a lot surrounding it. So okay. Let me find that part.
All right, cool. And then, well, yeah, we got a break anyway. We got my dad telling a joke here, and then you got to hear this, by the way.
Okay.
It's so funny. it's Matt Damon telling a story about working with Malkovich and the first day he's on the set.
Oh.
And it's hysterical. And he imitates Malkovich. It's hilarious. All right. We got a break here. We got weather. We got traffic. And then my dad's going to call and tell a joke. And it's all brought to you by the Gale Street Inn. Okay, so I was telling you about some of the stuff that's available on Netflix this month. By the way, Young Frankenstein is now available on Netflix, and I can't recommend it highly enough. A bunch of other stuff. Comedy Bang Bang Season 5 is available. Let's see. DreamWorks Trolls, if you want to hear Justin Timberlake.
Justin, okay.
Yeah, and Anna Kendrick. The Sword Master is available. Quantico season 2 is available.
Okay.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 4 is coming up. Let's see. Counterpunch, which is a Netflix original, is coming up. The Ranch is coming back with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's actually not bad. And Danny Masterson, it's not bad. Sam Elliott's on it, and Deborah Winger. Mm. Yeah. No, seriously, it's not bad. Deborah Winger is a national treasure, and so is Sam Elliott.
Right.
Yeah. But it's Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Rounders, this movie about poker.
Yeah.
Matt Damon, Edward Norton, and John Malkovich. And John Malkovich plays this Russian guy who is like the king of the underground poker world. And here's an interview, a piece of interview with Matt Damon talking about working with Malkovich.
You'll be maybe pleased to know that every time I play poker, one of my friends will say,
give that man his money.
He beat me. Straight up. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
I have a good story about that, actually. So Malkovich, you know, the fact that he was even going to come to do this movie... The whole crew was talking about it. I mean, for months, we're waiting for John Malkovich to get there. I mean, it's a big deal. Malkovich is coming. Malkovich is coming, you know. And,
Malkovich.
No, literally. It was like, this was before, you know, that movie, too. So when he finally shows up, he gets there and, you know, I mean, it's like, at that point, he's walking on water. And we do the first take and John goes... If you don't have my money, then you are mine. And I'm sitting across the table from him like, I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Rewind.
Like, we're talking like this, and suddenly the action, if you don't have my money. And the crew bursts into applause. They're cheering. They're like, wow, amazing, amazing. And I'm looking at him, and I guess he sees me looking at him. And he leans across the table. And I lean in, and he looks at me, and he goes, I'm a terrible actor. And it was just literally one of my favorite things that's ever happened on a movie.
It
was
so
brilliant.
That's
so
incredible.
Brilliant. And a great, and a lot of wisdom, too, because if you get to that point where nobody gives you a straight answer, you know, it's dangerous, you know. But he was, I mean, obviously he's not a terrible actor. He's quite the opposite. He's brilliant. But, that moment of just it was special.
Isn't that amazing?
That is a good...
Oh my god. I'm a terrible actor.
What's a good Malkovich movie to watch?
Oh man, there's a ton.
As I think about it, have I really seen that many Malkovich movies?
Have you seen
movies?
Being John Malkovich?
Yeah. I've seen that bunch of times.
God, that's one of my favorite. He's great in Empire of the Sun, the Spielberg movie with little Christian Bale when he was a kid.
Oh, okay.
He's great in Sheltering Sky, which about six people saw.
You're going for something a little prestigious, a little less prestigious. He's fantastic in Con Air.
Yes, he is.
Oh, wait, I've seen Con Air.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's great in Con Air. Not going to get him any Oscars, but he's great in it. I'd have to look at his, I'm blanking a little bit here, but you know, but he's tremendous. And, you know, like his stage work, you know, here in Chicago. And
see, that's, I wish I could have seen.
I've seen him a bunch of times on stage. Yeah, well, I mean, I, you know.
Gloat a little more.
It's fantastic. He rules.